I'm Neil Fagan.
And I'm Jeff Owens.
And welcome to the Scribble Show. And how are you today? It's a great day out there, isn't it? Sunshiny.
It is a great day, but if I had to be honest, I'm a little bit low today. So the challenge for this week's show is to pick me up. I'm a bit parched.
You're a bit parched. Well, it is warm.
So I need sort of like the water of poetry to be poured over me. Actually, that sounds a bit like poetry, doesn't it? But anyway.
But you will be parched because you've been holding court for the last 3 hours at an event. So you're going to be parched.
Yeah. Okay. So cheer me up, Neil.
Okay. Well,
give me a rundown what's on this week.
Okay. We've got lots of really interesting work on this week. We're going to start off with a piece by Susan Worrell, which has been put together by Alan Johnson, one of the guys that we work with on the program. And he runs his own program, which is The World Comes to You. But I heard this on The World Comes to You, and what they've done is they've got all these different voices saying a line of the poem. Quite unique in the way it works. And it's called I Heard That I May Visit. And I thought, you know what, we should kick off with that because it's quite unique the way it's been put together. Really epic of proportions.
You got me.
Really good. So let's have a listen to that, shall we, Jeffrey? Let's see how it goes. Here we go.
Heard somewhere
that I may visit
you in heaven. It was a dream, I think, a time beyond, an hour much after seven.
I asked if I could visit.
An answer waiting still. Time said was different now. So wait.
I find I will.
I will.
A sweet aroma filled the room.
A smell of memories past. Could this be an answer
that sent to me at last?
A sudden sense of a life long gone stirs inside my heart. A feeling lost for all those years that we've been apart.
A warm breeze surrounded me.
A blissful sense of calm. And from a haze I saw you there.
No feeling nor alarm.
I asked. If you would speak to me. You smiled as I had known. This visit that you gave to me from heaven. I have loaned.
Questions and emotions filling my head.
No spoken words were needed.
Although so much was said.
You beckoned me to follow you. A wondrous sight to show.
Heaven in its glory.
Before you need to go.
We could only visit.
And sit with for a while.
All the people that we've lost.
And look upon
their smiles.
If only we could once again.
Share the love we had.
Share the love we had.
Share the love we had.
To fill the hole within our hearts.
No longer feeling sad.
I asked
if I could visit.
An answer.
Waiting still.
Time said was different now. So wait.
I find.
I will.
If only we could once again
visit you in heaven. Heaven. Heaven.
Heaven. What a great way to start the show.
Get me on the next bus to heaven.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah. Now, that must have made you feel a little bit better.
It did pick me up, exactly right. I was particularly drawn to the production there was pretty spectacular. And all the different accents. So
they
clearly had a lot of people from different necks of the woods all coming together for that project. Very good.
It must have been a really tough thing to pull together. But I heard it on The World Comes to You and I thought, we really do need to play that on the Scribble Show because it's quite unique the way it was put together. So great work by Susan Worrell for writing it. Superb work by Alan Johnson for actually producing it and pulling it together. So great way to start the programme off. Really good that. Now, every week we do a bit on Poet's Dream and we're mixing it up a bit this week. So they're in there, the Poet's Dream team are in there, but we're going to play a couple of pieces now which I've voiced over because the guys weren't able to do it. They didn't have the technology to do it. So one of the first guy up is a guy called Tim Grace, and he's produced this piece called Dark Matter, and I think you're going to like this because it's the Queen of Dark Matter, and you're a bit of a scientist, you're a bit of a geek. I think you'll kind of like this one.
Okay, I'm there.
All right, listen in. She speaks of dark matter. She seeks its clue. She maps the empty, voluminous void that fills the heavens with galactic glue. Such keeps the queen of science full employed. Visible space, a realm she understands. The pull of planets and the death of stars, the gaseous clusters that time expands. With curiosity, she's there on Mars. But what of the vast unknown, the unseen, the invisible, lightless, hidden mass? What sense does she make of the in-between? As yet, it would seem, not that much, alas. Chaos reigns above the Queen's universe. Order favours the Black Knight, quite perverse.
I'll play that for you. I'll play that out for you, actually, you being a bit of a scientist and all.
Well,
that.
Yeah, it did actually sort of strike that chord with me. There's a bit of research in there. I picked up a couple of strands, which, yeah. I'm not sure whether they'll hold up in a physics degree, but it sounded fantastic.
It did. It sounded great. So a nice bit of writing that by Tim Grace. And the other reason I picked it, he mentioned something about the in-between, and we got the second part of the in-between by the Plain Face Poetess coming up later in the programme.
Right.
So a bit of a tenuous link there, a bit of a Radio 2 link for those of you who are in the UK. You'll understand that one.
Yep.
The next guy up is a guy called Vikas Singh, and he's been posting on our Google Plus site quite a few weeks now. And I thought it was about time that we played one of his pieces, quite a short piece. Have a listen to this and see what you think, Jeff.
No more outdoor plays, no more meeting friends. Inside the four walls lies my own world. I am not that good, but I am best on net. A failure in relationship, I am best to hang out with. Never faced any book, I advise on Facebook. Never read any phrase, I tweet on Twitter. More likes on Instagram, less praise in reality. Googling on Google, learned how to flirt. This world is alluring, but it's dark inside. I live with two-face, balancing real with virtual, liking, commenting others, expecting same from them. It's like getting to stars by seeing glowworms in dark.
I like that, I liked it because it was all about how people get sucked into
internet. There's quite a sad chord in there, actually.
There is,
About, the social breakdown with technology sort of substituting a lot of...
Social interactions going on
internet. We used to do
internet.
Ourselves, but now we just rely technology to do it.
Yeah, we do, yeah. And that people post things up and they're looking for people to comment on them, which is good in some respects and not so good in others. But I think I think it was quite a poignant piece, that.
Yeah, it's inspired me. I'm going to put down my technology for 24 hours. I'm not going to tweet and Twitter.
Me too.
I'll talk to people.
Yeah, that'll be a novelty. He'll never catch on. Well, let's give it a go. Right, we're going to move on to a lady by the name of Kara Johnstad, who's been a regular on the programme, and she's produced a piece called Message of Hope, and I listened to it the other night, and I thought, yeah, you know what? Yeah, this is kind of good. This is worth listening to this, so get your ears around this one, Jeff.
Through earth.
It's a miracle of birth.
us know. It's our daily bread that starts as grain, and a prayer that heals all our pain. For every raindrop, a flower does grow. It's the bird that flies against forceful winds, and a heart forgives our greatest sins. It's the one who takes a chance, who dares to live this dance. It's the greatest story ever told. How the smallest voice turns meek to bold. We have the chance to rise above. Believe in hope and love. Listen. Listen. The wind blows. Listen.
I don't know whether it's the weather outside or the fact that we just sat here chilling.
I was out there.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Cora's work now. And once again, I mean, we have had this debate before about with or without the music.
We have. Yeah.
She seems to get it right. The rhythm was right. And I was just, well, you saw me.
I did. Yeah, you were just, you were away with it. I mean, it must admit, it did transport me to
it
this.
It did, yeah.
This land of milk and honey with the sun beating down, it just set the mood. It was
well done, Cara. Keep it coming.
Nice one. Let's have more of those, Cara. That was really superb. So we've gone from that where we've got a really great production with music behind it and the way it's put together, and we're going to move on to a lady by the name of R.C. De Winter, who's been on the program before, and she produces her poetry without any background music, but it really works. You know, it works, sort of lends itself to do that. So we'll have a listen to what R.C. De Winter's put together now. Let's have a listen to this.
Damn that drunken fool who wound that clock too far, too fast, and left us with, "Time flies when you're having fun." Newsflash, people. Time flies whether you're having fun or not. Party till you drop, look at the clock, and it's 5 a.m. Sit in silent sorrow till your heart cracks in half. Next thing you know, it's sunrise, and 5 a.m. again. It's all the same. Laughing like a loon or drowning in darkness, those seconds, minutes, hours fly on the wings of your reality, your memories, your dreams, never to return, whether you've been having fun or not.
I thought that was good. Whether you're having fun or not.
Well, I'm having fun and time is flying, so I proved the theory in one direction.
Yeah.
That's true enough.
But yeah, and this morning I wasn't having fun and time still flew by, so that proves the theory.
But that was
ways.
At 5 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, it was indeed.
Yeah.
So the more R.C. De Winter writes, the more I listen to it, the more it is always worthy of being on the Scribble Show. So I just thought it was good to put in. Now, I talk about Poem Kubli on a regular basis, and we're profiling the one who is voted by the whole Poem Kubli group as being the best poem of the week. And we've got a really nice piece coming up by Bob Williams. And we've put together a bit of a promo so you understand Poem Kubli. So let's play that, and then we'll play Bob straight after and talk about it after that.
12 poems, 2 words. An explosion of mind-bending, heart-rending, scaring, sharing, dream-making, tear-jerking poetry of epic proportions. That is Kubli.
Hi, this is Bob Williams with my poem, If a Ghost Falls in the Forest Without Any Noise, Will Sentient Trees Still Be Able to Hear It? This is no Okigahara, no suicide forest, no Yurei lured you here to hang yourself from a tree. No diabolical ghost lover moves in your arms, cooing love while absorbing your life, leaving you cold and death swooning. If a ghost gives up the flesh that it was to hear past its own moaning, the way a sentient tree sees through itself to know the whole forest, can the ghost flesh has left make any noise if it falls? Or does its near zero weight mean no sound? If the sun penetrates trees to the heart of the ghost, will ectoplasm refract it into a rainbow no one can see that still goes on with its shining? This is no Okigahara. This is a forest for healing. Listen. Hear the leaves susurrus whispered each to the other, caressing the air with soft rustles. Hear the lone owl, always searching, always calling your name, always wanting to know you in night songs. You're here with the ghosts in this forest because you followed untraveled pathways and called your own footsteps your friends. Each paved road more traveled meant nothing to you but an endless procession of signs. And so those like you have come to me here. I am your medium, and this is a sentient forest. No felled tree, no picked flower, no owl flown from its branch falls to the ground without everything knowing. Do you feel that cold air next to you now? Don't be afraid. It's Poe's ghost brushing by us. Look in the space where his eyes were. Now cavernous sockets, his mouth like a tarn rising over its edges, its darkness bubbling out words. Raven. Sadness. Virginia. I say, loss. Acceptance. Love. Poe's dark ghost freezes, then nods. Always an orphan, up until now he takes root. He shoots out dark tendrils. His soul cracks, his branches grow out of ectoplasm. Less and less ghost, more and more pine tree. No more pining for Annabelle Lee, Lenore, or Lygia. This magical forest is home to him now. Here comes Beethoven's ghost, humming the chorus of his final symphony he never heard for his deafness, but felt its vibrations inside him. He tries singing that joyous ode, but unsure syllables stumble out until he only can finally say, Heiligenstadt, deafness, sonata. I say, survival, vibrations, brotherhood. His ghost brows lift. His ghost face unscowls itself. Feathers unfurl from him. He's an owl now. Who is not all he says. Human ears are deaf to the breadth of his range. But the birds know, and the trees and the ghosts all hear the music he's making. Here comes Robert Frost's ghost. We called him wise, not a poet of loss, though his family died all around him. Suicide, depression, childhood death, breast cancer, heart failure, but except for home burial, no poems about family dying. Frost Ghost comes up to me. There's much that I want to say, more that I want to know, but his time here is short, and our words in this forest are limited. He says, roads, desert places, dismal swamp, Eleanor. I say, pioneer, introspection, transcendence, love. Frost's ghost grows white from what was transparent. Cracks with black scratches open up in a birch tree. He turns into now, like the ones he climbed as a child, or those the adult tried to climb in his poems, when his lover's quarrel with the world meant climbing skyward without leaving the ground far behind. If a poet's ghost becomes a tree he once climbed in the forest with no one around to remember his poems, will the wandering ghost know the unsaid words his heart once beat into a rhythm, whispered now in the susurrous sigh of pines and the clicking of dried falling cones? Can a forest franchise its space for a ghost to grow into if no one hears the agreement? Could a lawyerly forest ever really know freedom, or a sentient one really need law? When you die, if you want to come to this place, if I'm not here, my ghost will be. I'm not St. Peter, and I never held out the keys to anyone who didn't already have what they themselves were the key to opening inside them. If you're the flesh that became the poems that are written on paper that nobody reads, let your ghost bring your book here and burn it and scatter its ashes on a seed that you planted, with the light shining through you as sunshine, with the rain falling through you as tears, so your words will be strong in the woods where they grow. Rebreathe lost sorrow, born over again and rebirthed as oxygen, where page turn by page turn, each of your words relearns perfect silence, never mentioning itself, except the mediums, empaths, and ghosts. Standing in a sentient forest, their ears pressed to trees, feeling the poems trees become, and the leaves raining down like dried tears you would hold in your hands as they're falling.
There you go. That was the winner of the poem Kubli this week. I'd love to get in his head.
Worthy winner.
Yeah, love to know how he thinks.
Well, it's clearly extending the argument that if a tree falls in the forest, no one's going to hear it. Did the tree fall? So
he's
spun it from if someone writes a poem and no one reads it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Their take on reality.
Yeah, and sometimes you feel as though you've been in that forest. So I kind of get it. It was good. Yeah, I like that one. So moving along now to a piece by a lady by the name of Jan Mather. She wrote a piece called The Dandelion Clock, which we're going to play now. And it won all sorts of awards in Australia and has been put in magazines and profiled a bit out there. And she can't understand why. And she sent it in and she said, "Yeah, I'm astounded by how many people really love this." So I recorded it for her and I thought we'd play it today so everybody else can get a feel of why this piece of poetry has been produced so many times over the last couple of weeks. So have a listen, Jeff.
Okay.
The dandelion clock is too hard to resist. We have to pick it to blow it away, a silky second at a time. The game seems fun, but once we have begun to play, we cannot stop midway. Through on a childish whim, ever the optimistic strategist, we pant and blow, even though we know that the wind will claim our seeds despite our calculated aim. Whisking them off to where he has decided they will go, we watch them out of sight, running in their wake, harbouring deep-seated heartache, because we can no longer partake in their maiden flight.
You see, I have a theory on this, because everybody has blown the seeds off a dandelion.
It's a child. It's all children have done it, and then us as well. So yeah,
and you've blown them off, and you've started running after them, and the wind's caught them and blown them all the way. So I'm not surprised it's been reproduced on a number of occasions, because it brings back those memories of those summer days, doesn't it, when
absolutely.
You were doing that.
It probably doesn't appeal to the gardeners, though, spreading all those seeds for the dandelions to grow. It's a good job we're not a gardening program. But.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's move on to The World Comes to You. We've got the promo to play for Alan Johnson and his team. They're doing a really good job on that, so get over there on Saturday. If you want to know what it's about, have a listen to this.
Well, hello. The World Comes to You here on Saturdays at noon. That's GMT.
Somebody mentioned tea.
Well, GMT is the world time zone. Oh. So people tuning in from Japan or somewhere else.
I live around the corner.
12 o'clock, Saturday, the 9th of April. The World Comes to You.
Oh, I can't have all them coming here.
Now, Steve accused you of doing that voice.
Did he really? Not that squeaky, but yes.
We thought you were moonlighting then, working on The Will Comes To You, but it's a great show. I'd listen to it every week when it comes out, and there's some really great interviews with some of the poets on that, so it's okay. It's a different show to this one. It was really good listening to. So if you get an opportunity, tune into The Will Comes To You on a Saturday at 12 noon.
GMT.
Yeah, or GMT. And now we're on, they're on our app as well. So we created an app called the Scribble Poetry app for people to listen to poetry on the go. And you can get it from, just follow the links at the end of the show, or you can find us on Facebook and follow the links from there. And we've included The Will Comes To You because we're working quite closely with Alan and his team, spreading the word of poetry everywhere. So if you get an opportunity, download the app and you can listen to us while you're out walking the dog in the sunshine, which is a great thing to do, and I'll be doing it later today. Okay, now, we had a guy called Aaron Comaletti. He's been posting on not only Google Plus, but on Facebook, and he recorded this piece on YouTube. It's called Obtain Love, and I had to listen to it, and I thought, yeah, I kind of like that. Let's have a listen to it. Here we go.
All right. Yeah. Love. Glad I got to obtain. Never kick you out of my life as bliss goes on the right lane. Our journey between us, good things will gain. Memories engraved in our hearts, feign of solitude, pain. We are meant to be together. Thought my chances be elusive, sticking with fate forever. When we first met, took my wrist like roulette. Be there for when you need. Never your personality I would deceive. As a journey, our success will achieve. Don't know where I end up in life. A lot of things coming through. We fight, hope relationship can renew. As we have our own point of view. Never want to descend. Bonding you with a struggle. Can't picture the end. Me and you, our love will transcend. You're a one of a kind. Our love will go good times like rewind. Memories and cherish will eternal. Don't know how long will last. As time starts to elapse, keep staying being you. We are hard to break down like bamboo. I can't make you happy all the time, but I try my be my best to hope our future is benign. May not always be around. I try to be my best. If we have kids someday, it'll be amazing. Can't rush. Only been you for a couple years. Whatever the outcome, stay to persevere. Can't let the negative interfere. This is not all she wrote. It needs something special to me and you to vote.
Well, first time on the program.
I'm sure it won't be the last.
No, I'm sure it won't. Really nice piece of work. So thanks for bringing that to our attention, Aaron. And it's just for all...
That's a stream of poetry that actually I never really thought about. But the more I listen to that and others that are coming out of the previous weeks, the more I think I'll sort of get into it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It just
it's
kind of strikes
urban,
a chord.
It's the urban
it?
Feel to it. It's
It's quite good, that sort of... It's a bit like a rap feel. It works really well.
Very good.
Yeah, it's good. Just for all you listeners out there, Jeff and I have been quite decadent this afternoon. We're sat here drinking and eating blueberries. Because it's one of those unusually warm...
in mid-mouthful.
Unusually sunny afternoons. Now, Doreen Pearson, who's we've covered before, her husband unfortunately passed away some years ago, but he was quite a prolific poet. And she's been posting some of his work on our Facebook submissions page. And I picked this one up this week called The Old Jetty. And I thought it'd be really good for us to play this because Doreen's really promoting the work that he's done. So have a listen to this one and see what you think to it, Jeff. On a jetty where rusty nails protrude through planks gnarled by 20 years of summer sun. Then stared, entranced, at shallow water sandbars, overlaid with restless nets of sunlight. Here is the place where father and son, in many summers past, pulled to life a coughing engine and made their way to One Tree Island, half across the lake. Here ghosts of fishermen long gone linger near this place where shadowed minnows shudder at a footfall. Where scimitar flight of swifts slice at midge-filled air. This is the place for me. Here at the shore, where dandelions, frayed medallions of sunlight, scatter abundance among pale clover and cool chicory. Some nights when I'm far away, among city towers that menace, I think about this corner of the lake, where raccoons lurk,
and remember clouds that part, to let moonlight spill and blanch across a row of silver birch, where nightbirds in their hidden places let go their repetitious chords.
Really struck a chord with me, that one. It reminded me of the times down in Cornwall of just kicking back, walking along the beach, just sat there looking out to sea, watching the birds come in, just listening to what's going on, hitting the, listening to the waves just lap across the shore. So
I was there.
Yeah, it does send you back there. And you may have gathered, listeners, that we're feeling pretty mellow today. That
we
is
are, actually, yes.
Yeah,
and the choices of poetry you've put on this week are really sort of adding to that. So,
which is really good.
we got any horror theme on later?
No, no.
Oh, in that case, I'm going to finish.
Maybe.
Let's
we usually always throw something in a little bit dark. So let's go from that to Your Black Horses of Doom by Karen King. Now, Karen's been on the show a number of times, and she's been quite a prolific contributor to Scribble for Kids, which we're going to start running very, very shortly. And some of her kids' poetry is really good, as well as her adult poetry. And she sent this one in called Your Black Horses of Doom. And I clocked it and said to her, oh, do us a favour, will you record it? So she's done that. Have a listen.
Your Black Horses of Doom. We're riding on your black horses of doom towards your darkened tomb. Inside you've made a room of white flowers, not a moment too soon. Amongst white silk, white flowers are strewn, waiting for our nights from midnight till noon. Me the bride in white and you the groom. As darkness descends, my heart goes boom. You have woven me into your loom. I want to explore your catacombs. Through all seasons, July till June, under the light of our silvery moon.
So, not a horror theme, but...
No. More Tolkien-esque, really.
Yes, I thought it was...
More mystical, so I was... Yeah,
yeah,
that wasn't too
so
bad.
We're not disturbing the mood too much there.
Okay.
Right,
okay,
so... Okay. So for all your listeners, sit back, kick off your shoes, and just chill out as we scribble along now to In Between Chapter 2. We played Chapter 1 last week, and we played it about 5 or 6 weeks ago to remind everybody of where we were. And this is the In Between Chapter 2 by the Plain-Faced Poetess. Welcome to Terriers 4, Dane Niall. Niall returned the salute. Thank you, Guardian. The petite Afsa tried to tidy its midnight blue archaeologist uniform, but stopped, its hands still shaking from the shivs. The Guardian briefly glanced down at Niall's slender, trembling hands, then stepped back wordlessly and dropped the planar device into its charger. He motioned to the officer respectfully and opened the station doors, following Niall out into the hallway. They walked down several narrow, blue-lit corridors to the open doors of the meeting room. The Guardian stopped within a few feet from the doors and turned to the officer. He reached into a pocket and took out a 2-inch square of yellow plastic and handed it to Niall. Dane Kells asked the team to upload these as soon as their jump completed. Niall stopped, and with a ch and a sigh of frustration, he took the specs disc. This should have been given to it yesterday so I could have uploaded the information slowly. It pulled the tiny cable from the packet and inserted the small flesh-like plug into the port behind its ear. Summaries were rapidly uploaded and then separated to download and stored into its brain. Niall lurched, suddenly sick. The AFSA was one of the few who suffered from this reaction to rapid spec upload. Why was it only Kells who sent these in this manner to Niall when she knew better? The AFSA inadvertently grasped the arm of the Guardian who was turning from the doorway. Wait. The Guardian stopped, looking down at the small AFSA as Niall, paled and faint, wrestled with overwhelming nausea. Niall, realizing it had the arm of the Guardian in a vice grip, let go and backed against a wall, weakly waving it away as the Guardian, out of concern, reached towards it. It'll pass,
It's okay. Go ahead. Another guardian stepped out of the meeting room and into the hallway. He saluted the officer, then extended his hand, palm upwards, to Niall. The hand held a tiny, round, clear plastic disc with a red dot in the centre. Niall, barely able to move, glanced weakly down at the disc and then up at the guardian, confused. What? The guardian stepped back and looked into the room at Dane Fidger, who was sitting almost directly across from the door. Niall leaned slightly to the side and followed the guardian's look to meet Fidger's eyes. His beautiful, cultured face broke into a wide, intimate smile. Niall grimaced with a surprised, oh, then a sincere, tragic look and a dramatic, silently mouthed, thank you. Fidger laughed softly and affectionately. Then he nodded, glancing with obvious intent over at Dane Kells. Niall followed his eyes. Dane Kells had her back to the door and was deep in conversation with a seated fellow engineer. Niall nodded back, understanding. Grabbing the opportunity, he took the disc from the guardian, then saluted and thanked them both. The officer then slowly and quietly moved around the back of the room, taking its seat and placed the red dot at the base of its throat near the carotid artery. There was an immediate flood of relief. The officer sighed gratefully as the nausea abated. As usual, Fidger had been preemptive in his care. It was a role he naturally assumed when they were all living together, Kells, Fidger and Niall, at the Academy Training Centre. And lately, it seemed, Fidger had been assuming that role again.
Well, that's it. We're going to have to wait for Chapter 3 next week.
Again.
I know.
I can't believe I didn't see that coming again. Yeah,
it comes off left field.
You did it the first time and left us hanging there. The second time you'll do
that. Yeah, so we're going to play Chapter 3 next week so you can get another feel of what's going on the in-between on that side. Now, moving along before you shoot me, we're going to Essie Yankee, who's been on the programme before, and she's submitted a piece of poetry that she performed at the Royal Albert Hall. So in
that's right, we covered that a few
we did in Majestic Company. It's called Connect the Dots, and this is one that she actually performed there, and she sent it in to us for us to play.
Connect the Dots. I write on scraps and weathered pages. I jot down raps and picture stages. I write down dreams and go through phases. I wish to be a chain of daisies. Love me, forget me not, cover me in lots of drops of tangled sticky knots of nature's nectar. Sweet sap drips, ink's an ancient script. This letter to my heart sparks a one-way trip down a slow winding path through a beautiful park where the day meets the dark in the dawn of my mind. In the maze of my brain, I can travel through time. I can move in straight lines from today to tomorrow, through the rain on the plains and the rainbows that follow. I can jaunt back to the future, to the depths of the hollows, where the song of the swallows is played by Apollo. I can replay every living memory from this life, past lives and even future histories. I'm travelling through centuries. My cells are filled with memories and fueled by past life energies. My ancestry genetically connected, see. I'm predisposed to memories and energies my conscious mind has never seen, has never felt, has never known. Subconsciously, I know these scenes. I see them in my restless dreams in deep REM sleep. Connected to these memories, I remain in this wonderful maze. Rewind, play, pause, fast forward. Memories are everlasting, ever after, even after lifetimes pass and the atoms of the soul shell part, they move and fuse to form new life in new forms with new norms. But the day is the same day, and the dawn is the same dawn, and the sun sets in the same place, and the storms form in the same way, and the earth rests in the same space. I am but a speck, a dot. What is the meaning? Or at least what say I? Look for love, look for light, look for nothing outside. Look within, third eye, and you'll connect the dots. Oneness will embrace you as you perch upon the moon, taking in the view of this great spectacle we like to call life.
The great spectacle we like to call life.
I'm becoming a fan of Essie now. I don't know how she does it, but I mean, it's one of these, the work that she produces, you don't need the drum rhythm. Somehow she's got it in there.
Yeah,
she's created a rhythm in her own poetry, and yeah. I'm just, it's almost like a rap, but it isn't. But it's,
yeah,
it's clearly got, it's got a beat to it, and I can just get so lost in it.
Yeah, I agree. And how she manages to remember all those words is beyond me.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah. So to actually perform that is some feat in itself. So well done, Essie. Thank you for sending it in, and I'm glad you had a great time at the Royal Albert Hall. So well done on that. Now we're going to move on to a lady by the name of Laura Romig, and she's produced a piece called Raindrops and Candlelight, and Alan Johnson has voiced this over. Have a listen to this one.
The thunder sounds like drums, the tinkling of the rain outside, the pitter-patter of the raindrops like the tinkling sounds of a piano. In my home, the candlelight dances on the walls and windows. The flickering of the candles moves in perfect harmony with the rain. My thoughts drift, as they often do, to the gentle, loving heart of a man of passion in love with life. I dream that tender love I feel lives within his heart, my voice dancing like the candlelight inside his mind. Dreams of happiness living in his heart, as soft and warm as the candlelight. I close my eyes and see him clearly. The tears run down my face, my heart, my mind wandering. Is his love as true as mine? Do our hearts beat as one? Breathing deeply, all I can do is listen to the pitter-patter of the rain.
There you go. Pretty mellow show this week, isn't it?
It is. I mean, ordinarily the rain would be welcome. Yeah. But yeah, that really was quite atmospheric.
Yeah, lovely piece that by Laura Romig. And Alan, for those of you who don't know, obviously plays a lot of the music that is on the backing tracks.
Really?
Quite an accomplished musician.
Yeah.
So very talented at the end of the day. So good combination that between the two of them. Now moving along to Sean Runyon. Sean's posting in on our Facebook page, and he posted this one the other day. And I had a look, I read it, and then I actually recorded it and thought, I'm going to play that this week. So have a listen to this one, Jeff.
Somewhere lost am I in the musing of reflective thought, grasp do I for the true meaning of the word life. Figuratively, metaphorically, I ponder upon all things to use, but my anger seems to be my only muse. Jocular love has lost its way, and my life has become the plight of the misused these days. Years of bitter choice still consume inside. Trust has become fallacy, that resting post of demise. Immorality, that crow that still flies, eats away upon the lesions that's burnt deep in. I feed that false reality, fly, crow, fly. Yes, another day that turns hope into lies, legions of scars marred beneath the tattered eye. habits that have arise never to leave me, like a lover's lies, his demise falling upon my eyes. Deep is the pain that still resides, gnawing at the core of bone, and upon my eyes surrender to my king. Yes, have I rest my life upon the delusion of her lies. Lost somewhere am I.
Lost somewhere am I.
Nice work, Sean.
Yeah, really good work. So the more he sends in...
Is that the first time we've featured Sean?
No, second time we've had Sean on the show. Yeah, but he's the work that he produces is really good. So if you can keep on sending them in, Sean, we promise that we will keep on playing them. Yep. It would be nice, though, if you got an opportunity to record them yourself so we can hear what you sound like. Because we're never quite sure whether we've got the intonation right.
Yeah, that to me always is great enough. The poets take that trouble.
Yeah, and another guy who posts a lot is a guy called Don Wells. I like Don's poetry, and he's posted quite a few bits, and I thought it was time that we played another one of his. He's been on the programme before. Have a listen to this one.
One day, her love came home carrying a box, a 2-foot square cardboard box. It was not sealed, yet its lid stayed tight. She asked about it. Just a box, he said. He carried it with him always, and always the same answer. Just a box. She tried to open the box, but it held fast. She yelled at it, hit it, stabbed it with scissors, but it would not open. Just a box, she wept. Making love, hugging, dancing, all manners of physical intimacy became difficult, and eventually they stopped trying. Lacking the warmth of each other's embrace, their skin grew cold, their touch foreign. A frost settled between them. Then one day she found an old box from their early days together. It had never been thrown away, but had lingered. There was a stack of them, all small, but together quite large. Why had she kept them? It seemed so important at the time. Damned boxes, she said, useless clutter. And she threw them out. The next morning, over coffee and eggs, her lover put down the newspaper and said, "Do you want to look in the box?" Inside the box was something small, old, almost forgotten. "Such a big box for such a little thing," he remarked, and they laughed. The more they laughed at it, at themselves, the smaller the thing became. Soon it vanished, and he set the empty box down. They embraced each other's warmth and kissed, a warm, lingering kiss that melted the frost between them. And this time, they threw away the box.
You see, for me...
Hang on, I'm trying to work out where that was going, but go on, have you got a theory?
Yeah, I've got a theory on that. It's like the suspicion and secrets can cause all sorts of issues within a relationship.
Right.
So the more open the relationship is and the more you discuss things and communicate with your partner, the less likely you've got of this situation where it eats somebody away because they don't know what's going on. Right. And it does cause a rift between you. So that's where I was on that one.
So a box is for something that's hidden, basically. Yeah, okay. I thought I was going to have to clear out the attic.
Yeah, well, you could do that as well, because you've probably got a few boxes in there, mate.
Yeah, but okay, I've got that now, yes.
Yeah, that's what he meant to me anyway. So so we've had loads of people posting, and it's great. Mm-hmm. You know, the response we're getting from people is absolutely superb. And Ed Michanski has been posting in to Scribble, and I picked up one of his pieces, and I thought, you know what, it's time we played one of his as well. So we're going to play this one by Ed Michanski. See what you think to this one.
"I know what thunder looks like. I stared into its face when I was trying to grow up to be a man. I know the name of the rain. It is the same name as my mother's. I know how lightning feels. It feels like a leather belt that didn't care where it hit you. I know what the wind smells like. It used to come through the rusted screens in the windows of a child's room. It smelled like other places, and not the place where I cried and bled. I know what books taste like. I used to kiss the ones that helped me stop crying. Books were the only kings or gods I ever bowed to. They took me to every place in the world and places that didn't exist. Books made me a man. The leather belt kept part of me a child. My friends were authors and characters. My life was their adventures. Until they taught me that I was strong enough to write my own. They taught me to see everyone as a book. Everyone has a story. Everyone is a place that never existed."
Now, I like that one. And I like most of the things. Well, I like everything that we play, because I say this every week. But I like that one because it reminded me of being a kid. Not that I was ever beaten with a belt, but I did live in an age. I did live in an age where corporal punishment was the norm.
Yeah.
And it does make you retreat sometimes into different areas of your mind.
Yeah, that's true.
So I thought it was quite pertinent the way that was put together.
Okay, I can definitely draw a parallel with that one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure about I got caned once, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we all got caned at some point in our lives, I'm sure. Right, Caroline Hartley, a poet who's writing a poem a day. And every day she posts a poem to the Scribble. And every day I pick it up and read it. And today I thought, I'm going to play this one. So I recorded it quickly so that we could play it. And it's very short because she's writing a poem a day. Have a listen. Imagine having a game show loaded with litigation. The nation gets their say. Play could contain a range of topics from toxic oceans to motions for war. Why the poor get poorer, ignored, then torn apart by the party of plenty. Any atrocities, really. Ideally, this ideology would eventually set us free. Maybe. One day. You see, I can see them setting up a game show like that, because they set game shows up that are rubbish these days. Reality TV programmes.
I think it's just a metaphor for a party political broadcast.
Yeah, and it may be, yeah. You know, the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not be political here, but they are. Okay, we're going to play out with The Raven by Warren C. Denson. I'm not sure whether we've played this before when I look back at the shows, but there's been a bit of a remaster on this, and it's definitely worth having another listen to. So have a listen to this, The Raven by Warren C. Denson.
I walk upon the castle gate, the hour being very late. I see a raven in the light, in lit lantern's darkest night. Onyx statue without flaw, broken silence. I knock upon the castle door, echoed back to me once more. I wait some minutes in the night for someone inside to light. The raven staring down at me makes me want to turn and flee. I hear the creaking of a door and heavy footsteps on the floor. The door begins to open wide, no light within to peer inside. I see two eyes behind the door, glowing red, through me they bore. The raven calls a piercing note, my heart jumps into my throat. I run and flee through the night, until the castle, out of sight. I stop against a tree to rest and calm heart within my breast. I look up in the tree to see the raven staring back at me.
What?
Well, sleep quietly and tightly.
Yeah, you said you were going to give me the heebie-jeebies this week.
Every week we just like to throw you a bit of a...
You're just at the end.
A piece off left field. That was a scare the pants off you, and that was a great one.
Oh, I'll be able to see a raven passing in the road again.
A little bit scary. Well, that's it for this week.
Yep.
I think it just remains to say to everybody who's written poetry and sent it in, all you scribblers out there,
yep,
thank you very much for taking part. And for all of those of you who are not writers but are listeners to the programme, it is only with your support that we continue to go and continue to grow.
Yeah.
So thanks very much. And as we say every week, may your God or your gods go with you.